Would you join with me in prayer? Loving Provider, you know what is good and not good for us, and you are ever attentive to our needs. Speak your truth and your grace to us today, so that we might become one people in purpose and in praise, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to begin with a confession today. Usually I preach on the lectionary gospel text, and I plan to do that today, but I picked today's scripture from Genesis in some ways because I'm running from the gospel lesson in Mark. In that passage, the Pharisees ask Jesus what he thinks about the law of Moses and what it says about divorce. And see, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about this passage from Mark with some clergy friends, and all of a sudden, one of them interrupted, saying, "You guys are talking about this passage about divorce academically. You don't know anything about what it is to live through it." And then he opened up to us about his own story, with all its heartbreak, followed by healing, forgiveness, and new beginnings for everyone involved. Now, I'm not going to tell his story for him, but I was humbled by his testimony, by the way he could claim the words of Jesus in that passage, both as a judgment of himself and his mistakes, but also as grace freeing him and healing the wounds that those mistakes caused. Some of you can speak about divorce with this kind of authority, having lived through it yourselves, but I can't. I know that the passage from Mark, if not interpreted with due care and sensitivity, can compound hurt and judgment. And right now, in this season that we're living through, it's just so very easy to hurt each other with careless words. So I prayed about today's sermon, and I felt God leading me instead back to this passage from Genesis. After all, it is a passage that Jesus quotes in his answer to the Pharisees. And so I decided to follow Jesus back to the beginning. And what I found there was a landscape so rich and wide with grace that I felt I needed to explore it with you. This text from Genesis reminds us that we're made for companionship, made to be helpful to one another and to stand with one another. It reminds us that God honors our own choice, our own sense of who's a fitting helper and partner. And it shows God's blessing, not just on marriages, but on the vast array of life-giving human relationships. So let's remember where this passage comes from. This is the book of Genesis, which means a birth or beginning. This is part of the creation narrative, a rich tradition of stories told and retold for generations down the centuries among the Hebrew people before they were finally set down on paper. God has taken dirt, or adama is the Hebrew word, from the ground and shaped it into a human being. Our translation refers to this human being as the man. But that's not quite right. The Hebrew word for an adult male is ish. But in our passage, this person is called the Adam. Not the proper name Adam, but the Adam, the earth being, the one formed out of the dirt. So God looks at the Adam and says, it is not good for the Adam to be alone. It is not good, God says. Something is lacking. And God goes on to say, I will make him a helper as his partner. Some of us grew up hearing the King James Version of the Bible read, and the King James Version translates this as helpmeet. When I first met my wife's grandmother, she took me aside. She told me her life story. She found out that I was studying to become a minister. And she said, oh, that's good. Amy will be a good helpmeet for you. And she wasn't wrong about that, but I also do my best to be a good helpmeet for my spouse as well. I will make him a helper as his partner. Our modern translation is better because these are two important Hebrew words in that verse. One has to do with help, with assistance, with being useful and beneficial to someone. But the other word has to do with being an equal, with being a peer, with being a fitting partner. It is not good, God says, for the Adam to be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner. Because this passage ends with some commentary about marriage, about the relationship between spouses, some people have read this to say that God wants all people to be partnered in this way. But that can't be right. As Christians, we're meant to be led by Jesus' example, and as far as we know, Jesus never married. Jesus wasn't married, but he wasn't alone either. We know about the 12, his inner circle of disciples, with whom he shared wisdom apart from the crowds and whom he wanted close to him when he was in distress and needed to pray. In the Gospel of John, we hear about a particular disciple, never named, whom Jesus especially loved, who leaned up against him at the Last Supper. And we hear that Jesus loved his close friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus of Bethany. All of these, in their own way, were helpmeets for Jesus. They attended to one another's needs. They supported each other. They journeyed together, and they didn't have to be married to be companions, to be partners and helpers. So I don't think this passage just has to be about marriage. It extends to all the ways human beings love one another and are present with each other. Now, sometimes it is good to be alone. I love my kids very much, but I did welcome the silence of the empty house once they returned to full-time school this fall. Sometimes Jesus withdrew to a quiet place by himself, and he taught us to do the same. Each of us needs the space to be with God by ourselves and to be the person God created us to be. So sometimes it is good to be alone. But it's not good always to soldier on alone through this life, is it? And we're not alone. We have the family we're born into and the family we chose for ourselves as we grew. God says, I will make a helper for a partner. All of these relationships are God's gift. Notice, though, that God says, I will make. God doesn't say, I will choose. God doesn't say, I will impose. Just look at this story. Look at the process of trial and error. God creates all of the animals, bringing them one by one to the Adam who names them. What do you want to call this one? God asks. And the Adam says, I don't know. I think we'll call it a wildebeest. What about it? Asks God. Do you take this wildebeest, as you call it, to be your life partner, to have and to hold? No, I don't think so, says the Adam. What else have you got? So some people want to take this passage and turn it into a weapon to use against the LGBTQ community. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, they shout. But when they do this, they skip over the most important part of the story. God does not immediately hit on the perfect partner for the Adam. Just consider in this passage, who is the one who gets to decide when the search is over? Who is the one who gets to decide when a suitable partner has been found? It's not God. This at last, says the Adam. This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This helpmeet, this partner is made by God but not chosen by God. God draws back and leaves us the space to decide, and as people made in God's image, we're also meant to honor that choice, that consent, the heart of others around us. God didn't impose a partner on the Adam. We're not meant to impose ourselves on anyone else. When two hearts cry out to each other in mutual recognition, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, God is delighted. God is pleased. God sees that this is good. And as an illustration, as an example, not in any way to exclude other kinds of relationship, our text ends with a reminder that two people choosing one another can form a bond that is so strong that they're able to become one flesh, even superseding the bonds between parent and child. And Jesus adds a commandment to this: what God has joined, let no one separate. I said earlier that it's a difficult season of life right now. A lot of people are struggling financially, struggling with mental or physical health, struggling against persistent injustice. What a blessing, what a good thing that God gives us one another to be companions, to be neighbors, to use Jesus' word, to one another. The peace and global witness offering we're receiving today is one way that we stand as helpers to neighbors around the world, but there are other ways, too, that you can bring peace into your own relationships, into your neighborhood, into your school or your workplace. It doesn't have to be hard or complex. Who's hurting? Who's present to you in need today? How can you show them that they're not alone? We are made to be helpful to one another. We are made to stand beside and for one another. God gives us partners, helpmeets, not only romantic and marriage partners, but other companions as well. And God gives these partners to us in a way that makes space for us to choose. Let no one separate the bonds that God has helped us to discover and join. Amen.